Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 27. Have you ever been in a Bible study on the book of Lamentations? You may not want to. It's not a very happy sounding title, but life is like that sometimes, right? And it was like that for God's people. They were in captivity and they lamented to God. But in chapter 3 comes this great crescendo of love and power, and it's just beautiful. So let's read verses 22 to 27 together. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions will never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let us pray together. Lord our God, these are powerful and beautiful words. Help us not to take them for granted. That's probably why we bow our heads now. Not just to jump into something, but to say, God, you teach us. You speak to us, and through us, speak out into our community as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Want a Super Bowl sermon this Sunday? It's only a week past. Nobody took me up on my offer to conduct a Bible study in your homes. That's okay. I gave Colleen and I the night off, and we were able to watch the game. And to watch all the commercials, and I think that's what I'll talk about today. It'll be safer to talk about that. We'll forget the players, the scores, and all that stuff. We'll lay that aside. Do you realize that those corporations paid NBC $5 million for each 30-second commercial? $5 million for 30 seconds to get into your living room. And that's just the cost paid to NBC. There would be costs as well for developing, videographing the commercial, and writing up the script and everything. That probably would have been just as much money, maybe even more. $5 million to get into your living room to try and sell you something. Somebody wants to sell you something. Make no mistake about it. You know, sometimes Christians and churches are accused of the very same thing. I've heard people say, maybe you have too, oh, I wouldn't go to a church. They're just trying to sell you something there. Have you heard that? I most certainly have. And indeed, I would understand that if that popped up in this worship series that we're engaged in right now, when God does something new. Oh, yeah? Are you trying to sell us something? Does God really do something new? It's been a while since something new happened in my life, Pastor. When I look out on the world, it doesn't look like anything new is going on. Are you trying to sell us something? Well, let's see. Let's look at today's text. It's a bit different than the ones that we've had before because it talks about God doing new things on a daily basis. They are new every morning. Some of our themes in worship have been rather grandiose and sweeping, like God will create a new heavens and a new earth, which I believe he will. That's off in the future, right? God is going to do something new, demonstrate his great love, show his compassions on a daily basis. Are you trying to sell us something, really? Let's look at what this might be like so that we can recognize it, so we can think through what this would look like. Started to say, if God does something new, but I'll say, when God does something new. I think when God does something new, it's going to be first powerful, it's going to be priceless, and it's also going to be personal. Now, it may not be all of those things at the same time, but these are some of the things that I think you can look for as you're trying to see if God's trying to sell you something, or if somebody in your family is questioning, can God really do this? Can he live up to this? First of all, it's going to be powerful. And I'll take you back to some of these Super Bowl commercials too, just to illustrate. We want to focus on God's Word most importantly, but just to illustrate it, we'll talk about a few commercials. One of the popular ones would be the Tide laundry detergent commercials, right? Got a lot of press because they were rather funny. It would start out getting you thinking it was a car commercial. And the guy would say, nope, it's a Tide commercial. Then it would go on to what you thought was a beverage commercial. Nope, it's a Tide commercial. Then there's a part where they go in there, they're in some kind of an auto repair shop. And the guy, the grease monkey, slides out from under the car and says, how do you know this is not some other kind of a commercial? How do you know this is a Tide commercial? And the guy said, just look at your shirt, how white it is. Of course it's a Tide commercial. Tide has the power to do something, to take your dirty laundry and make it whiter than white. If God is going to do something new in your life, you want to keep your mind open, keep your eyes open, keep your heart open to the vast and amazing power of God. We even see it in the text there where it says they are new when? At the end of an exhausting day? No, new every morning as the dawn comes up, and there's nothing more new or spectacular or hopeful than a new dawn, right? And so the guy here, this is the prophet Jeremiah, we think, says they are new every morning. Now, God does a lot of things, and sometimes they are very small, so it may not be huge, it may not blow you off of your feet or something like that, but this is the way that our God works in the world. As a matter of fact, your bulletin photo there on the cover there shows what? Some grass growing up through the asphalt. And to me, that is one of the most amazing things in all of His creation, that something as weak and as tender as a grass blade can just push up through the asphalt. And I bet you have other examples too. Because we live in Maine, we live in God's country, right? So when you look out your window, what do you see that convicts you, that shows to you again the power of our God? What are some things that two or three of you would share? Tide? The tides. Not the laundry. Oh, okay. The tides, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
And not every morning, but four times a day, right? Up and down, up and down. Isn't it four times a day? Well, too high and too low, right?
Too in, too out.
Two in, two out. Okay. Tides, what else?
Ice.
And then?
Bluebirds at the feeders in the winter.
Bluebirds in the winter at the feeders.
My black squirrel.
Your black squirrel. A melanistic squirrel in Nobleboro. All right. So there are plenty. Yes, Tom.
Every time I see a tree, small tree growing in my gutter, I think of that tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, trying so hard. We're out of a tiny acorn grows these immense, huge, ancient oak trees. Over and over we could go, right? And God bless us each and every one because we live in God's country. We live in Maine. We have a huge advantage. We may be small in number and we may have a few needs that face us, but we live in the middle of God's country, and it will be so easy for us as we go back out into the community after our worship service on Monday and on Tuesday to point this out to other people. So be ready to do that. You are God's priests in this community. I believe that. And you can say to somebody, if God can make a day like this, just imagine what He can do in your life. Or you can say to somebody, if God can drop a blanket of pure white over this whole state of Maine, like He did, what, twice this week? Or was it three times?
At least
twice. If God can drop a blanket of pure white over the whole state of Maine, can't He just purify your heart? You're struggling with this. You're weighed down by this burden or these sins. God can make you pure as well. He is that powerful. So watch for power. Also, watch for something that might be priceless. I talked about this a little bit in my little sermon up here, but you probably are not going to see any commercials at all, be that the Super Bowl at any time, where they start out a commercial and then they say, well, wait a minute, actually, this is so expensive, this is so priceless, you can't really afford it. No, the whole point of those commercials is to get us into the stores, right? There's going to be a George Washington Day sale or President's Day sale. We're going to get coupons or what have you to get us in there and to buy. But if something is too expensive or priceless, then you can't buy it. And I think maybe this is one of the clues how we can know that God is not trying to sell us something. The churches are not trying to sell us something because you can't buy it. It's just free. It's there for the taking. There is no price that you can put on this or get even close to it as well. Now, that's what corporations do and vendors do. If something's not selling, they'll drop the price down a little bit more. I've never heard a verse like that in Scripture where God says, yeah, I'm going to reduce the love of Jesus or I'm going to trim a little bit off here. We'll put it on sale at Christmas time. No, we don't do that. It is free, and it is priceless, and it is wonderful. Nonetheless, God is not an ATM machine, right? You can't just go and get whatever you want. That's why we have a book like Lamentations. Even though we have this beautiful, beautiful passage, it's right in the middle of suffering. And our lives are like that. Theologians talk about cheap grace. And that's what goes on here. We can cheapen what God has done and say, oh, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you live. It does, because you live your life in worship to God. But in the midst of that, we come to a God who loves us boundlessly and totally and fully and completely. Still, I think one of the most amazing things about being a human is watching myself or watching others try and buy it off of God. We do that. We do that with flair. It's one thing I could cure in the church. I would love to do that. How, Pastor? How do we do that? Spiritual push-ups, basically. Give me 100. Give me 100 more. We do that. Oh, if I just sign up for one more committee, then, yeah, then I can get on God's good side. Oh, if I just try and be a little bit more churchy. You know, maybe if I just give a little bit more to the church or something like that, then I can get in God's good graces. It doesn't work that way. It's free. It's priceless. Now, you're going to go out from here. You're going to be the God's priests in this community all week long, right? Thank you very much for doing that. But be on the lookout for people that are trying to buy into God, okay? I'm not good enough to go to church. Agree with them. Say, yep, you know, you're right. None of us are. Oh, my life is so screwed up, I don't know that God can help me. Yeah, you know, it probably is. But God loves you that much and has priceless, powerful resources available for you each morning. Come and join in. New every morning. Really? It's going to be powerful. It's going to be priceless. And lastly, it's going to be personal as well. And like I sometimes do in my sermons, I have saved the best for the last. And the best commercials for the Super Bowl, the ones that everybody was voting for as the best, were which ones? You see that? They were the Alexa commercials, right? You remember those? Alexa, I know I have to explain it. It's that little computer thing that you can put on your kitchen counter or in your office, and it's voice activated. So you say, Alexa, what's the temperature going to be today, or something like that. So in these commercials, Alexa gets a cold and loses her voice. So the corporation goes out and gets some actors and musicians and singers and so on to be the voice of Alexa. And it just throws everybody off when they ask for Alexa and they get Anthony Hopkins. Or they ask for Alexa and they get these musicians. you know, fussing back at them or squawking back at them, and they're just blown away because Alexa's beautiful, peaceful, soothing, personal voice is not there anymore. It's amazing how we can get attached to these machines that are not even real, that really are not personal at all. I wish I could get Christians more and more attached to the person of Jesus Christ, because to me, one of the most amazing things about our faith is that God has come to our community, God has come into our world, God took on human flesh and stands with us in the midst of whatever it is that we are going through, whatever kinds of mercy or compassions or love we are calling out for, He is there. You do not make this stuff up. You don't think about it. You don't dream about it because it's just too unreal. If you were to make something up, you would make up a religion or an idea or a philosophy. Oh, I need to believe this. Oh, I need to, you know, and that's what we excel at. None of us in any kind of flight of fancy would ever say, God will come to us. Take on human flesh, stand beside us, live with us, show us the way. That, I think, is part of how you can say, yeah, this is true. They will be new every morning because there's somebody real and alive standing right beside you. Standing in the nursing home rooms, standing beside hospital beds, standing beside you as you live alone in your homes or whatever that is. To me, that is the most amazing thing, one of the most amazing things about our faith. It's how personal it is. So in a minute, I'm going to send you out into the community, okay? As you go out and somebody says, thank you for coming, thank you for the visit today, you could say something like, you know, God visited us. God came into our world, and because I believe that, because that's true, I want to stand with you as well. Somebody asks you, why are you here? Why did you come today? You say, because God came. And I'm just following in His footsteps. He came for us, and He wants me to do the same thing. When you go and you visit somebody, that's what you do. That's what you can say to them. We're not selling anything. When we gather here, we're just worshiping. Worshiping the God who does powerful things, priceless things, and personal things in our midst and in our community. Remember, I'm going to send you out here, okay? And I asked you a couple of weeks ago not to do any what? No good deeds, right? Because what we do are kingdom deeds. When we do stuff, we are demonstrating what God really wants in our community, in our lives, and in our homes. It's kind of a play on words. Yeah, you can do good deeds, but what you do is very radically different than what other people do who only do good deeds. You are showing the world. I'm having some church, okay? I'm having some worship. You are showing the world that His mercies are indeed new every morning.